I cherish every time we can meet now. I don't take this for granted. Please hear me. You can be in denial about what's going on. Now, I've been trying to prepare us for a while now for what's coming, and the handwriting has been on the wall. The handwriting is getting more clear and more deep. And as things go on in these last days and all that we have experienced and all that we are going to experience, one of those things is being able to meet together freely. In the freedom that's given to us, I'd like this on the recording too, by the way. Don't take this for granted. And I'm going to encourage you, don't miss church. I'm talking about our church here. Don't miss. Don't take this for granted, because the reality is, this won't always be. Church and meeting at church, meeting with each other, meeting as brothers and sisters, isn't always going to be. In our country. It's coming, folks. I don't want to always be the Jeremiah prophet bringing the bad news and the warnings and the negative exhortations or what seems like it, but you've got to know these things. Do not, and I'm saying this here to our church now and in the podcast, for those who listen to the podcast, do not forsake the gathering together of yourselves, and particularly now. Within the church. Are you hearing me? I'm not trying to get you to come to church for church's sake. I'm trying to get you to band together and come together and to understand how this works and how the body works together and what happens in the dynamics of the body and the power that's released in the body and the reality of caring for each other and helping each other, encouraging each other. This needs to happen now more than ever in our lives. Amen. This is it. Amen. In my heart, and let me fill you in, okay? I feel like the Lord has given me the responsibility to, as things change, and they change so quickly week to week, I am to fill you in on, not everything, but I'm going to continue to fill you in on the changes that affect us, the changes that affect the church, our individual lives, but only as much as the Lord leads me to give you. Because there's a pile of things that the Lord has shown me and prepared us for, prepared me to be able to share with you, and it will be at the appropriate times. But here's the latest. You all know our state, our governor is very she doesn't know the Lord. All right? It's obvious. You can tell by the fruit of a person, whether they really do know the Lord or not, whether they know Jesus Christ, whether there's a sensitivity there or not. And I'm not talking about judging the person, not at all. But you can read a person by their fruit, typically. Now, our governor, I saw a interview with the state legislators, some of the state legislators this week, and our governor now has put before the state legislature, and some of it has already passed, to build a law that has a statewide mask mandate, period. You will be forced to wear a mask everywhere, all the time. Now, they're working on that becoming law. This is her authorizing it. She also has put before the legislature to vote on, to make a law, a requirement for vaccination with a chip. Okay? This is happening in our state. And it's right now. Now, I want you to understand that these things are real. Do not be in denial about where we are in these last days. We have to know these things. I also read pretty in-depth a financial analysis regarding economics, and I read a lot, can you tell? About next year, on January 1st, it is being pushed. They don't know that this is going to happen just yet, but it is being pushed to begin the transition to cryptocurrency in our country. Okay? That's coming, that will come through the government and the Federal Reserve. Now, what that means, that might not sound like a big deal. But what that means, and I don't believe it's going to happen right away, but it will be a transition. And they want to begin on the 1st of January this year, next year, excuse me. And what happens is, and how it will work is, everybody, every human being in the United States, probably that has a Social Security number, will be assigned a bank account. And the government and the Fed, or Federal Reserve, will be the overseers, or actually in charge of those bank accounts. I like that so far.
No, thank you.
Now, if the government mandates later on that we do something, or that something, we're coerced in some direction that isn't godly or isn't righteous, something that we do not agree with or goes against righteousness, here's the progression. Funds can be held or withheld or metered out as deemed appropriate. Please understand, the New World Order is on the way. We're there. Sorry. So you can take this and you can understand it and you can be aware of it and you can pray about it and you can know what to do and how to do this and let the Lord lead you. Or we can wait until it's too late and we can have a lot of consequences that we didn't have to go through. But we are here. Now, that's why I say I cherish every time that we can meet together. At some point before the end of this year, I'm going to discuss in some of my messages, I think this is necessary, and I want to start it here, that those who are interested, it is on their heart to learn how to lead, or actually start and lead a Bible study, a home group, I'd like to hear from you. Because I'm going to teach you, instruct you on how to start one and how to lead one. At some point, I don't know if it's a month, 6 months, 6 years, but at some point, we will be going underground. That's coming. That's why I cherish these times that we can meet together. Okay? So, if you have an interest, I'm going to announce this one or two more times about a Bible study and starting one and leading one. It is important that we have a place to connect with believers. And I think it's important to get started sooner rather than later. Amen? Okay. My heart is to keep you all protected, to keep you built up, to keep you charged up, to keep you operating in the supernatural, to keep you operating in the truth of the Word, to keep you living out the truth and the reality of the gospel of God's grace, because grace is still the same. Nothing's going to change in that. But our external circumstances are changing, and they're changing rapidly. Every week, from now on. Pastor Rosie? Thank you. So, I want to add to Pastor Jim's encouragement, Lonnie's prayer group, that prayer time, there's a supernatural release going on in there. This is for revival. This is for the supernatural move of God to begin to take place in us and through us, in this church. I believe this church is to shake the area not only around us, but is going to reverberate out from us in some hugely dramatic ways. Y'all know we're kind of different, right? Y'all know that?
Yes.
It's a good difference, but we're different than the typical church. We're going to stay word focused. We're going to stay Holy Spirit focused. We're going to stay grace based, and we're going to keep on going. because God wants to move in here and outside of here. There's a tremendous move of God that is going to take place in this country. And people are going to be reached like it has not happened before. As the dark gets darker and the corruption gets worse and things begin to take place and more laws are passed, the supernatural move of God is going to take place like we have not seen. We're to be a part of that. We here at House on the Rock. That's what's coming. I want on that train.
Amen.
I don't want to be left behind.
Amen.
I refuse to. So, in all these areas, I'm going to encourage you, invite somebody to church, not for church's sake, but so they can hear the gospel, they can understand the truth, and they can begin to see the reality of the work of God in their life so that they can affect others, because the need is now, the reality is now, and the move of God, look out, look out. That's what we're prepping for. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Proverbs 14 verse 34. Proverbs 14 verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What we are missing in our nation now, and has been for a while, as the corruption continues to get exposed, is righteousness. And the reason that righteousness is struggling here is because we pastors have not led. Hear me on this, because this is not for you, this is for us. Pastors have cowered, knuckled down, bowed down, grown weak, gotten fearful, not stood and led as we are supposed to. The churches, the ministries that they've been given to do this for the kingdom of God. Somewhere along the line, the difference between bowing to the government and ungodliness, unrighteousness, has taken over instead of serving and bowing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and leading those that we are given to lead. My heart is that pastors will grow some courage.
Amen.
And that we will begin to stand with those in our congregations and ministries against the corruption, against the unrighteousness, against the perversions in the government and that are being perpetrated, against the immorality, against taking crosses off cemeteries, against all these things, against what the ACLU deems is right, against abortion, against, we've tolerated things for too long and kind of hunkered down. Stop. We have to stop. We have to be the leaders today like never before. So this is my heart. Unrighteousness will continue to grow if we do not. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land is in serious need of healing. But if my people who are led by my leaders, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Toleration of ungodly corruption, unrighteousness in laws, in civil laws, and saying, well, okay, they're going to file a lawsuit on me. I better not do anything. Well, that's okay. You know, those are wicked. We're not standing for righteousness. I'm talking about the leaders. What kind of an example? Peter says to be an example to the flock. We are to be examples to the people that we lead. As a horrible example, not standing up. And I will forgive their sin. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So here's my prayer. And here's my stand. Father God, bring us back to righteousness in our country. Lord, intervene in the hearts of all the leaders of our government, our courts, our state governments, our local governments. Intervene in their hearts and in their minds. Bring them to the knowledge of Jesus and what you have to give them. Lord, reach the lost. Help them. Help them come to know you. Through the word, through our stand, through the righteousness that we display, through our love and our care and our leadership. Reveal the corruption, because it's deep rot. Reveal it. Expose it, Lord, in our land and in our government. Expose it and remove it. And the demonic, that is the undercurrent, pushing the agenda of the Antichrist. Lord, expose it to the world. In Jesus' name. My heart, my prayer is for supernatural revival to take place. I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. I believe absolutely that it's coming. When it happens, we'll know it. And then the great, what the Bible calls the great falling away, will come. That's when that big separation happens. Okay? For us, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Now, when you take these scriptures in 2 Chronicles and you run them through the cross, prayer is a highlight. Prayer in tongues. Prayer in the understanding. Our confession, what we speak, death or life. Our authority and the use of our authority. Those things are most important. And God, we know he hears us. We know forgiveness has been supplied. It belongs to us. But you know, we have to accept it. We have to come to the understanding and the knowledge that we've got to have that forgiveness. But it's there for us. And God always hears us. I believe that if we're to stand now in these days strongly like he has meant for us to do, in wisdom, in righteousness, in power, and in love, but unified, this is where we're going to see the changes and the pushback against the darkness that is trying to envelop us. If we don't, it'll come much quicker. God wants to show himself strong on our behalf. Will we allow him to? In Jesus' name, that is my heart. Praise God. All right. Now let's get in the word, shall we? Amen. Let's get to the message, I should say. Would you go with me to John's Gospel? John's Gospel. Chapter 4. That was the intro to the intro, by the way. Now, I promised to finish on time today for the children's workers and the kids. It's important that we do that. But we will continue on this for a little while, the next 3 or 4 weeks. The title of this series is called Meeting at the Well. Meeting at the Well. And the title for today's message is called The Introduction. I want to read this to you. John chapter 4 starting with verse 3. Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. And he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. It was noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus, he said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now that's where we're going to stop. When the Lord went to Samaria, Jews at that time made a point of never going to Samaria. They always skirted Samaria. They would take a long way around rather than going to and through Samaria. Jesus went to the well to have a meeting. The well was always the community gathering spot. It was kind of like the fellowship hall, or the community room, or however you want to call it. That's where people met, and they spoke, and they exchanged information, and they encouraged each other, and they talked about things. And at noontime, a woman arrived, and Jesus asked her for a drink. And he initiated an introduction to this woman, which prompted a discussion. Now, the background, I want to give you a little historical background so we can put this all in context. God, first of all, and please remember this, everything that he asked Jesus to do, remember our lives are hidden in him, right? And he is in us. Every single time that the Father asked Jesus, led Jesus to do something, there was always a purpose, a higher purpose. Every single time. That goes true right now today. We don't always recognize that God has a purpose in everything he asks us to do. In the Word, by the Holy Spirit, every single time. And God always, always desires to reach people. That is ultimately underlying everything within this purpose. Every time. And that means all people. That means nobody is excluded. No how, no way. Historically, the Samaritans were a mixed bag of people. They were not one race. They were many races, many ethnic backgrounds, many different religions. What happened was, 500 to 600 years before Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came in and he came against Israel. Israel had abandoned God. They said, you know, we're going to live. We're going to do what we want. Yeah, we're going to give you lip service, God. But we're going to serve these other gods because they've got prosperity for us. Ultimately, it was always about the money. It was always about making me happy and giving me lots of money. They weren't seeing the prosperity from God enough the way they thought they should. And they said, we're going to go serve other gods because these people are doing well. And they were someday I'll share with you some of the excesses and some of the unbelievable things that people have done to worship these false demonic gods, because it's still going on today. And I don't mean in certain sects and clubs and things like that. It's going on in a very prevalent way in our country. This is a part of what's happening. So, 500 or 600 years before Jesus' birth, Nebuchadnezzar scoops in, he conquers Israel. I'm talking about Israel and Judah. He conquers them and he evacuates the bulk of the people and takes them to Babylon so that they can kind of mix and mingle and gather with the culture and the political, the religious aspect of what Babylon is. They become a part of Babylon. And then he takes people from Babylon and from other areas of where they had conquered, and he sprinkles them all through Israel and Judah, and he brings them in. There's only a remnant of the Jews left. He sprinkles them all in there, and they become a group called the Samaritans. 60 to 70 years later, after Nebuchadnezzar had pulled them all out and made this exchange of peoples, God put on the heart of the king of Babylon to allow the Jews that wanted to begin to come back to Jerusalem. And they did. And they continued to filter on back for a little while. So what you ended up with in this area of Samaria and Judah, or Jerusalem, that's how it's defined, are two different races, cultures, ethnic groups, and there were divisions and bitterness and unforgiveness, offense, judgments, all against each other. Hatred, hostility, arguments all the time. This is why the Jews did not ever go to Samaria. You know, you don't go to Samaria and you certainly not go through it. But you see, God had a purpose. Because God's purpose is always to bring unity and reconciliation with him and with each other. Always. Underlying everything. The political, the racial, and the religious differences between the Jews and the Samaritans were like today and what we face today in all kinds of ways. The divisions, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the offenses and the judgments going on today, and I'm going to use our country, are unparalleled. And they're real. No matter how much we try to sweep things under the rug, they're before our face, and it's everybody. So Jesus, in God's purpose, goes to Samaria, specifically to meet this woman. She's already handicapped because she was born a Samaritan and she was a woman. She's already entered into life with two major handicaps. Women were treated less than dogs. Samaritans were dogs. Dog was a horrible insult. I mean, a terrible, terrible insult. I won't even tell you what it compares with. And women were less to the Jews and the Samaritans. This woman had been devalued, condemned, rejected, and she was ignorant of the truth of God. And we'll get into this next week. When she came to the well at noontime, She was alone, without fellowship, without community, without acceptance, without love, because nobody came to the well at noon. You had to be hiding from people, or you had to be very unwanted to come at that time of the day. But Jesus met her there. Now, as she's coming to the well, I want you to hear this scripture, maybe in a different light. Proverbs 14, verse 10 says, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy." She was all alone in all kinds of ways, and hopeless. So what happens? God the Father sends Jesus to the well in Samaria to make an introduction to a Samaritan woman, the lowest of the low. I want you to hear who this is who was introduced to her very personally. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend nor understand it. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh." I'm skipping scriptures here. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness," verse 16, "we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now that's who was introduced to the woman at the well. God. God knew and loved her and purposed to meet with her where she was at the well in Samaria, exactly as He has done with every single one of us. Now, let's make a little jump here. All the barriers that were put in place between the Jews and the Samaritans, man put those up. Mankind authored them and built them, reinforced them. Politically, racially, and religiously. Jesus, the Word become flesh, breaks barriers between individuals and God. And Jesus, the Word made flesh, breaks barriers between individuals and each other every time. The potential for building barriers and reinforcing them politically, racially, and religiously today, now, in this country, is sky high. We're either going to build those barriers or we're going to allow Jesus and an introduction to Him in our lives, and maybe a reintroduction, to reveal and break them because we ain't going there. But this is what's happening in our country. This is the division that's going on in our country. This is what's being perpetrated. Every time division raises its ugly head, in every way, and I'm going to say politically, racially, and religiously, particularly, there is a demonic root pushing an agenda through somebody, through emotions. Do you know that when we, a lot of what happens with the media, this is how this works, so that you understand emotionally how we tick. The media, the big media, the big tech, all these things that are going on, the censoring, the not censoring, the promotion of, the not promotion of, the continual cycle of the same things over and over and over and over, is to get information into our minds so that it can get so cemented in our hearts that we operate out of it. We live out of our hearts. It's to get that in there, in the church, in the body of Christ. If we as pastors do not speak the truth in love, we're probably going to be deceived. We're to expose this stuff. So our hearts, it is meant to get our hearts to take in. It's okay to gain intellectual knowledge. But what happens is, when it addresses the emotions, which is what the point is, of what's going on, it gets into our hearts, and then it creates these turmoil times, these angry, this frustration, these all these, and guess what? It begins to bring division and strife and hostility, because it's coming out of our emotions. And that's what's meant. And that creates more division and more division. It's this endless cycle. This is the purpose of the Antichrist spirit that is operating now. That's why you keep seeing all this stuff. This is the purpose. We've got to be aware of these things. Jesus breaks these barriers down, because first thing he does is deal with us. And in our knowledge, to get to our hearts. All of us, so that you know this, all of us are under one king. Do you know that?
Yes.
And all of us are one race, human race, every one of us. Do you know we all came from Adam and Eve? All of us. How does that happen? If you study anthropology and sociology, and let me tell you my understanding, please, I'm open to correction. But you wonder why you've got the cultures and you've got the differences and you've got the aspects of our features, the way we look, our skin colors, and why does all that happen like that? Did God design that? In reality, this is the way it works, okay? And let me just scientifically go through how the genes work. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, were probably medium brown-skinned people. Looked kind of like Palestinians, kind of somewhat, sort of. And all of us came from that. All of us. And then as time went on, Nimrod, and he was a real Nimrod, took the people that were following him, which was a pretty good bulk of people, and we concentrate on this language issue, but what happened was, Nimrod's coming to build the Tower of Babel with these people to separate people from God. The Bible says he was a mighty hunter. He was a mighty hunter of people to take them from the Lord. He was an evil, evil, evil man. And so God, not going into all of the details, confused the language. So people began to separate. And as they separated, the people groups, those that were more like in characteristics and colors and common traits and cultures, they began to group together. And those groups grew. And they migrated throughout the world. And they kind of You know how birds of a feather flock together? That's what happens with human beings. We all kind of gather together with people that look like us, seemed like us, and thought like us, and we developed that way. Now, in the gene pool, this is one side issue. Someone who has a medium brown color can produce every color of skin tone from one end of the spectrum to the other. But people that have my color skin, I'm off-white. People that have that can't produce squat. But people with a darker skin color or skin tone can produce everything. So people separated into these groups, characteristics, everything else, and thrived in certain areas, and racial, political, and religious differences arose, began to be developed and arose. And divisions happened. You know, it's still going on. This has been happening for thousands of years. It's still going on. We are one race. We are the human race. Every life matters to God, period. We all came from the same parents, and we all should be in unity. Jesus is the one that breaks the barriers that we put up. Period. Breaks them all. Between us and God, and us and people. The root of the problem going on today in our country is James 3, verse 16. James 3, verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking, King James says strife, exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Let me read to you. Let me break this down into the Greek, okay? For where envy and harsh, contentious rivalry and self-seeking, strife and division exist, confusion and instability and every evil thing is there. Does that look like the United States of America? Because of all this? Politically, racially, religiously. It's easy to build barriers of hate, strife, and division if the flesh is allowed to be king in our lives. It is easy to build these barriers based on flat-out ignorance and self-centeredness. It is easy to build them. That's why we see what we have. We have so kicked God out of our country and so tolerated the corruption and the immorality without making a stand. We have what we have. I said last week, God gave us this country. God gave us believers, Christians, right now. And I'm only talking right now. This century, this time that we live in, He gave us this country so that the righteous would rule and reign. And we haven't done it. And I put a lot of it on pastors. We depend on each other in the body as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to help each other, help us in this life, to encourage, to correct, to care for, to reach out to be in unity as brothers and sisters. You know, this can't happen if we live carnally rather than in the Holy Spirit, which God has called us to live in. That is the root issue Here's the ultimate solution for every one of us to political, racial, and religious division, strife, hostility, arguments. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus, the barrier breaker, said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have one love for one another." You see, all this division and envy and strife has little by little, like a snake, crept into the church, the body of Jesus Christ. I hate division. I hate it. I will not have it. But this envy and this strife from the political, racial, and religious garbage that's going on in our country has crept into our church. I don't mean our church. I mean God's church. The church. Our, meaning everybody. I take ownership of the whole church. If we're all one in the kingdom, then it's our church. Regardless of some of these doctrinal differences, so what? If Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, he'll work out the doctrinal differences. And if it isn't now, it'll be in heaven, because we'll probably all be in Bible school in heaven for a little while, getting straightened out. Even us who have the grace message. Although we'll probably have to spend the least time there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I hate division. And I think you hate it too. So we're going to be on guard against this garbage from political, racial, and religious. When I say religious, please understand, atheism is a religion. It's not just the law or some cultish doctrines. It's everything. You can make political correctness as a religion. All those things that are going on, we're not going to allow. We're not going to allow them in here. And we're not going to allow them in our lives. How do we do that? How do we do that? We must, for every one of us, like the woman at the well, God has purposed Jesus to meet us, to introduce himself to us. You know, all that description about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning, he was God, he was with God. And he came to bring us into his kingdom. That's who we have met. We have to allow him, maybe at this time, to be reintroduced to us in our lives. We might need another introduction again to stop the flow of the political and the racial and the religious garbage that is trying to infiltrate the church through our lives. How can we love one another as disciples of Jesus Christ if we're struggling with any of that nonsense? It's ungodly, it's unrighteous, and it doesn't belong in our lives. Amen? So how do you do it? Number one, get introduced or reintroduced to Jesus again. Read the scriptures that I read. It'll blow you away. If you meditate on those four, it'll blow you away. Let him reveal his spirit in you and reveal to you who you are in him. Let him strip you bare of everything in you that is not him. Let him do it. And finally, let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit lead you into the steps you need to take as real, true disciples of Jesus Christ from now on. Big things are happening, folks, and they're coming, and we need to get this. Because the divisions and the confusion and the strife is going to get more. Like I said, it's going to be good for a little while again. But look out when it comes, because it's going to get a whole lot worse. Where are we going to be in our introduction with Jesus? Are we going to be involved in the political and racial and religious aspects of what's going on more? Or are we going to be involved with Jesus, who's the barrier breaker? Amen? Stand with me, please. Father God, in Jesus' name, help us to get this. My heart's cry, Lord, that we get this. And Jesus, that we are reintroduced to you, our Lord, our King. That we get this understanding of who we are in you, to you, and you in us. Help us not to get caught up in this stuff, but to get caught up in you. And Lord, I thank you for taking care of us and taking care of this church and building this church the way you want to build it for these last days. Thank you for the supernatural revival beginning here and going out from here mightily and powerfully in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Amen. Prayer team, if you need to be born again, you want an introduction to Jesus, please come up and ask one of these people here. They'll help you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please come up and speak with them. And if you need prayer for anything, they'll help you get the victory today. In Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a great week.